Time is 7:18. Tanya Khoury on the line. Tanya is going to help us take a look at the world, the week in numbers. What were South Africans talking about on social media this week? Tanya, good morning again. Tell us the biggest story that South Africans had the need to talk about.
Well, 74% of our top 10 this week focuses on a combination of Eskom, SONA, and the president. So that's all there was, Howard.
Yeah, because it's, and all of those are completely interlinked. You know, the sad thing about the story is that SONA was so fantastic, in my view, and he went through the details of the important things that South Africans are focused on, and all of a sudden, 3 days later, all we refer back to in SONA was his statement about Eskom. So it totally took the wind out of that, didn't it?
It certainly sapped the joy. Well, it certainly tried to sap the joy out of SONA. I mean, the president's initial address was left us on such a high. And then we had 2 days of battle in parliament with the SONA debate, and almost every single person tore chunks out of the president. And then did you watch him yesterday?
Yes, I watched some of it. I couldn't watch the whole thing, but tell us about
it. Well, he started off his address by paying tribute to his wife on Valentine's Day and gave her flowers in Parliament, and then gave flowers to all the girls in Parliament.
I didn't see that. And that is awesome.
Yeah, so that's how he started. And I think, you know, I think always how the president starts his speeches diffuses a lot of the anger in the room. I mean, we saw it when he addressed the SONA debate, the SONA event, and then again today, yesterday when he did the SONA reply. And then he went out to do, and this is what I absolutely love about him, is he took every step by step, and answered every question. I see the newspapers are banging on this morning about him not dealing with the Basasa issue, but he certainly dealt with everything else. I mean, he started off by telling us that he was advised not to respond to Tera Lakota's comments of calling him a sellout.
I'm so upset with Tera Lakota. I'm so angry with that man.
Me too. I am absolutely furious. But don't worry, because President Ramaphosa certainly took the knees out of Lakota yesterday. He said, I will address it. And he started at the very beginning when he was 20 years old and spoke about how he had endured the struggle, that he'd been in detention, he'd been tortured, he was in solitary confinement for 6 months. Like, he took us through his struggle journey. And the face of Tera Lakota went from really angry to, I feel a bit ashamed now. And so he unraveled what we didn't know about our president, which I thought was very, very good. And then he tackled Eskom head on, and he's made it very clear there was no privatization, and he made it very clear that we have to do everything in our power, not just one thing, but many things, pardon the pun, power, to put the state-owned enterprise back in line, suggesting that it should be put into 3 SOEs instead of just the one. And also that there needs to be backup plans for the existing maintenance. He explained again just what we spoke about earlier, Howard, that if we just maintained what we already have, we'd be doing very well, you know. And it's those things that he brought out, and that certainly left you with a feeling of, and he called on the political parties firstly to stop this racial rhetoric, this dividing rhetoric that they're using for electioneering. And I'm so glad he addressed that, because all I see in electioneering is divide. That's all I see. And he called on all the political parties that instead of heckling from the grandstand, to get involved and help. And I think that's probably one of the biggest questions to the DA today is, you know, stop pointing fingers and how can you help the situation? And he left the room by reinstating that Tumamina message that we all need to get involved. But what I did notice, and it's the first time I've noticed it with his speeches, is that he wasn't quite as prepared as before. And I think he probably had bigger fish to fry, but he had to read a poem at the end. Well, he read a poem at the end. It was about politics. And you know, he's so beautifully eloquent and he makes such powerful poetic speeches that when he read this poem, he'd obviously not proofread it.
Oh no.
Even he started to giggle at how badly he was rendering the poem, but he picked it up at the end and left us all with a standing ovation, as is usual for our president. So I feel a lot better today than I did the day before.
I think the most important aspect here, and I think that's the fundamental difference, one of the main fundamental differences, is that he addresses issues. That he won't,
yes.
You know, there was this, if we look back to the Zuma presidency, the frustration that we were feeling and that people in parliament were feeling because nobody was being heard. Here, somebody makes an allegation, he answers it.
Going
back to the Terry Lakota thing, you know, to come up with an allegation with so little substance 36 years later, and to try and discredit somebody from I have no doubt that there was a tremendous amount of behavior that was imperfect. We know this. Anyone that has gone through, any form of struggle like this, coupled with the abuse that people had to, and particularly these prisoners had to endure, you know what? It's very, very difficult for us to sit here in 2019 with the magnificence of our lives that we're living, even though we complain all the time, and look back and judge what went on. And I just thought it demeaned Lakota. It actually reduced him instead of reducing the president, which was his goal. Did social media react to that at all?
Very badly. I mean, there were definitely two camps. I mean, you've got the Ramaphosa Miss Fall camp, largely fueled by the EFF. But overall, people just were left shaking their heads at what is going on with this man. I mean, firstly, he says no to land redistribution, and now he's calling Ramaphosa a sellout. And you know, when Ramaphosa spoke, the number of people involved in his struggle that died beside him, you know, you can't diminish that man's input in the struggle. And then he addressed Julius Malema as well. And you know, Malema didn't go through any of that. And you know, he made it very clear, because Malema was certainly jumping on the sellout bandwagon, wasn't he? In parliament. And they gave Lakota a standing ovation and actually offered to give him more time, their time to speak, the EFF, because they wanted to hear more about the sellout issue. And then of course, we've heard this constant message that Mandela was a sellout, and Ramaphosa addressed that also head on, that you can't say that man was a sellout, and why you couldn't say that, you know. So I really felt emboldened after what was a very damp 48 hours, also pardon the pun, but he again knocked it back out the park. But yes, certainly Eskom sapped the joy out of our sonar debate, that's for sure.
Really, it's just quite unbelievable. What were the other stories?
Well, certainly, we also had a very big chunk of the pie going to Valentine's Day. All the nice Valentine's messages. Mm-hmm. I vomit. Anyway.
You should have joined us.
Are you a romantic?
No, Tony, you missed our show yesterday. So as I said, it was Throwback Thursday and Valentine's Day. So we called it Throw Up Valentine's Day.
Oh, I should have been there. What is all the fuss about? But I see Zanati. Zanati should show us how it's done.
Yeah, well, Zanati she was all, you know, emboldened yesterday about throughout Valentine's Day, but somehow this morning she's looking a little sheepish. Zanati, do you want to tell us what really went on?
No, I just went on a dinner date.
With whom?
A friend of my best friend.
What?
My best friend.
Oh, I thought you were saying a friend of your best friend. Yes.
No. Okay. So we were at her house and we cooked and we had wine. That's it.
That's it, eh?
So it was a girl's Valentine's.
But don't you think that's quite nice? About that bloke that you like? Did he not even come to the party at all?
I told you I'm single, Howard.
I know you're single, but we know also that there's somebody. And what's the story? Did he not?
No, there comes a time in your life when you are just exploring your options.
He didn't even phone you. He didn't send you a message.
No, he just WhatsApped and said Happy Valentine's. and I was like, well, there's no need for that, but Happy Valentine's anyway.
Are we being passive aggressive? There's no need for that. Did you hear that, Tanya? No need.
Oh, I did. So it's very entertaining.
No,
I'm telling you, we you know, for night entertainment, we always go back to the 90s romantic last.
Wow, back to the news and numbers.
She's a little testy this morning.
We have to.
How many bottles of wine did you and your best friend consume last night?
When I got there, she'd consume two.
Wow.
So I just had two bottles.
With another friend.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So when I got there, okay. I just polished the third one.
Alrighty. I don't even know. Tanya, where do you go from there? I don't even know. Alright, can we go?
I'm going to take us to a positive story of the week. Probably the biggest positive net sentiment this week, belongs to the Soweto Gospel Choir.
Yay, wonderful.
We won a Grammy.
Absolutely.
Isn't that fantastic?
Wow. I absolutely love them. I think they're phenomenal.
Yeah, me too.
Alright, Tanya, I'm going to
Tanya, I'm going to have to put you on hold.
Yeah. Because I've got to go to our quiz question this morning, then news headlines, Louis Campos, and we're going to be back with you straight after that. Time is 7:29, and let's see how smart you are this morning. Here we go. I want to know from you, how old was David when he was anointed king of Israel? How old was David when he was anointed king of Israel? 34519 or 061-895-1019. Don't forget to put your name. I want to know just how smart you are. It's about to go 7:30. Here's your news headlines with Zanati.
In your headlines, Trump to declare emergency over Mexico wall. It is reported that the U.S. will use military funds for the wall. Prisoners smuggle drugs in Harry Potter book. The book tested positive for a psychoactive substance. Six people killed in Durban harbor fire. The vessel was in for repairs at the harbor. And Recycle Center works to empower community. They train and mentor entrepreneurs in recycling. Catch the full bulletin at 8 a.m.
Thanks, Zanati. Just after 7:30, Louis Campos, good morning again.
Morning.
All right, so what do we, what can we look ahead to in the sporting weekend?
Well, in a couple of hours, no, less than a couple of hours, in just an hour or so, the Super Rugby competition starts. I'll get into that in a moment. A little bit later on this morning, they'll resume at Kingsmead in Durban, the cricket, South Africa against Sri Lanka. South Africa will resume their second innings with the captain, Faf du Plessis, not out on 25 and Quinton de Kock not out on 15. South Africa have a substantial lead already, albeit if things go as they have on all 3 days or previous 2 days, today being the third day, wickets have regularly fallen in the morning session. South Africa 235, the Sri Lankans 191 or out, South Africa 126 for the loss of four. As I say, they will resume this morning. There's also lots of other sporting action going on. The Sunshine Tour Dimension Data Pro-Am, Rikus Norkier is at 9 under par after the first round. Justin Walters at 8 under and Jaco van Zyl at 7 under. The ABN AMRO World Tennis Tournament Men's Singles Hard Court Tournament continues, as does the Qatar Total Open, the New York Open, and the Argentinian Open. As I mentioned, it's Super Rugby action starting this morning, 8:35 a.m. The Chiefs take on the Highlanders in New Zealand, followed by the Australian clash between the Brumbies and the Rebels. Then tomorrow, of course, most of the other teams get back into action. Also early in the morning, 8:35, the Blues against the Crusaders, followed at 10:45 by the Waratahs against the Hurricanes. The Sun Wolves play the Sharks at 5-1. The Bulls against the Stormers, the big derby clash. They will be wearing their superhero outfits tomorrow. And then tomorrow evening, the Lions have traveled all the way to Argentina to take on the Jaguares. And no football this weekend in the Premier League because we're back to the oldest cup competition in the world. The FA Cup starts tonight, 9:45. Queen's Park Rangers play Watford. Tomorrow at 2:30, it's Brighton and Hove Albion against Derby County, followed by AFC Wimbledon against Millwall. Newport County play Manchester City at 7:30, and then three games on Sunday afternoon. And those matches include the game between Bristol City and Wolves, Doncaster Rovers against Crystal Palace, and Swansea City play Brentford. And then the clash of the round Monday evening at Stamford Bridge. Previous champions, both teams, Chelsea and Manchester United, only one will go through to the next round. So a busy sporting weekend amongst other things. Hopefully you'll be out and about as well when you get a chance to and get some fresh air in your lungs and don't have to watch TV all weekend. Right. So we spoke earlier.
Yeah.
About the disgusting way Caster Semenya has been treated, which brought me to the thought of when did women first participate at the Olympic Games? And I thought that might be a
crackerjack of a question. That's a great question. When did women first participate in the Olympic Games?
Yep.
Wow. Brilliant.
So if you know the answer, we'd love to hear from you. If you know when it was, that would be fantastic. And if you really want to be smart and tell us what they actually participated in and where the games were, you'll get three Shabbos stars for the weekend. Good Shabbos. Have a good weekend.
And you, Luke Harper. Time is 7:34. I'm Hal Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. To Tanya Khoury, we're talking week in numbers. What were we talking about on social media? What were some of the other big stories?
Well, certainly state capture inquiry is still there. Did you watch state capture inquiry this week?
No, not at all this week. Nothing.
You didn't miss anything. Not a solitary thing. It's been like pulling teeth. The 6 out of the 8 hours of state capture has been assigned to repaginating documents because of incompetent assistance. To such a point that Judge Zondo dressed the advocate down so badly that I think her reputation is in tatters. So day one of Fakey Mentor's testimony, there was a bunch of paperwork that, as always, every day we go through the affidavits, etc. Mm-hmm. And they were all paginated incorrectly. And of course, Fakey Mentor doesn't do herself any favors. She's got real memory issues. So giving her numbers and addendums and annexures to find at the same time that were wrongly numbered was just a disaster. So the first day, Judge Zondo said, this is never ever happening again. You're wasting the inquiry's time. And you will come back tomorrow with everything in its correct order. So the next day, in walks the same advocate with a different set of documentation, paginated incorrectly again.
Oh, my word.
Wow, did he tear her to shreds. It's a complete waste of time. She said, I was told it was done. He said, I don't care who told you what. It's your responsibility. So he really laid into her. So it was more entertaining watching him dressing down an advocate than it was the actual inquiry. And all the time, Fakey Mentor sat there waiting for something to happen. Fakey herself was, a really poor witness. But what I did find with the subsequent testimonies of people that were with her or had been in the situation and she was there, they came up and backed her up really strongly. So even though Fakey didn't do herself any favors, certainly the other witnesses reaffirmed her story. So that was quite entertaining.
Yeah, and of course the fact that Agrizi was arrested, I don't think also does state capture inquiries any good either, because suddenly everybody's saying, well, no one's going to testify anymore.
Well, exactly. I mean, 7 of the Basasa people were arrested, including Agrizi and including Mtee. They were released on bail at 20,000 rand a pop. I mean, that's not even pocket change, isn't it?
We've
been talking about.
Yeah. So obviously that is indication, very much an indication that they are seen as credible, because otherwise they would never have been released on bail for 20,000 rand. That's never going to incentivize somebody involved with Basasa for coming back to the court.
Well, I hear that, I mean, they also said, the Hawks also said that please don't let this deter anyone
yes,
who wants
yes,
to give
yeah, please,
testimony.
Don't let the fact,
make me laugh.
Yeah, please don't let the fact that we're just arresting you the minute you give testimony, don't let it deter you. Like, what a
stupid thing. But what are they meant to do? I mean, I'm glad they've been arrested. They should have been arrested. They should have been arrested 4 or 5 years ago when the investigation started. But, certainly state capture still making its mark. What didn't come through this week, and that's purely because of Eskom and Sona, is the Mahoro inquiry. That one, I'm so sad I've missed that one because it seems like it's very, very, very controversial. Willie Hofmeyer's last day of testimony, and that was a marathon, ended, and apparently, I forgot to say, Robert McBride came to the state capture inquiry this week, didn't he?
Yes.
How was that?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he didn't quite make it onto the stand. They said it wasn't necessary for now. So we'll see what happens there. And then a story we seem to have all forgotten about, Howard, and that's Zimbabwe. What on earth is happening in Zimbabwe?
Well, that's the problem. Is, you know, you try and keep, well, I think the first issue is the fact that we've got so many issues ourselves to deal with here in South Africa that we actually don't have the capacity to talk and worry about anybody else at the moment. I think we've been very, very insular and very, very inward focused, and I really can't blame us. We are just struggling to get through each day as reasonably as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. The last story on the charts is Cassata's call for a total shutdown that turned out to be quite a dampener, but many say that was because of the rain, but there wasn't a great turnout.
It's because Tanya, it's like fighting for peace. You know, you know, there's a cruder version, which
yes,
I don't,
there is.
Right, which I don't want to say on air, but honestly, like, you know, to be marching against job losses during a work day when you're costing the economy more money, how does that make any sense to anybody?
And the job losses, like, if Eskom doesn't work, there's no jobs at all, guys. There's no jobs at all.
Exactly. Like, it's just absolutely... absolutely absurd. Adam Levine says that the arrest was related to a 10-year-old SIU investigation, not the testimony. Yes, I am aware of that, but they still can. They can manage the timing. It took them 10 years. They couldn't have waited another 2 weeks. You know, like, what was going to happen? That hasn't already happened in those 10 years. So yes, I get that, Adam. I'm not letting it out on you. I just find the whole thing, you know, what not to do, or what not to do in terms of trying to get a country right.
Awesome.
You know, where do you start? Do you start with Cassata marching and trying to shut the economy down? Do you continue with arresting people who have just given, state witness? It is really absurd. Tanya Khoury, we've overstepped our time. We're going to be back with you just after 8:00.